Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Keith Evans of UpHero, and today we are discussing all things sales and what it takes to increase conversions and close more sales. Keith is the CEO of UpHero and is a 20-plus year veteran of sales and marketing, all with small businesses. His big wake-up call was 10 years ago when he was selling yellow pages in a digital era, but it did not stop him from becoming one of the top salespeople in the Western division. Thanks so much for joining us today, Keith.
Hey, how are you? Now, oh my gosh, I thought this was going to be about Too Hot to Handle and Julia and Rachel and all the stuff going on. Are we on the right podcast?
You are in the right place.
What? Oh, wait. Oh, that's the next podcast I have to talk about. So obviously, you know, being a middle-aged man, I'm addicted and I watch the wrong things on Netflix. So I apologize ahead of time.
You're hilarious. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you with us today to be talking about sales. So, you know, to start, tell our listeners, where are you tuning in from?
I'm down here in Boise, Idaho, in that market, the lovely Treasure Valley in not Iowa, in the center of the United States, but way out in the Northwest. And so I have a home in Middleton, and then I actually have opened a new office. I am now, my corporate headquarters will be in Caldwell, Idaho, just a suburb of Boise.
Very nice. And what really motivates and inspires you? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
Oh, you know, I'm very blessed to be a creative person and just love to help people. And really, there's times I just can't turn my brain off because I really enjoy helping folks. And that's what even motivates me to want to pick up the call and talk to a business person or pop into their shop and introduce myself. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing better than building that website and getting them ranked on the Google My Business and then following up with them where we're like, hey, you know what? We can lower your ad costs. What? Are you serious? Yes. Like, or they say sales are up. We're getting more conversions. We're getting more calls. That is just warms my heart. And I think that if you really are at core a salesperson or an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. you just really want to help people.
Yeah, definitely. And what do you love most about running your agency?
It really does come back to the helping people, truly, right? There's obviously a benefit, right, of helping mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
You know, they pay me to get their phone to ring. But that opportunity to see them grow and to really, you know, I'm changing people's lives. Some of these folks yeah. are doubling their business, they're expanding, they're growing, and that's great. They benefit and I benefit.
Well, and without businesses such as yours during the pandemic, just think about how many businesses would have gone under. You know, they really relied on your services to keep them afloat. So that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I had about what were the numbers? Oh, it's over 100% increase in sales revenue from 2019 to 2020. Wow. I actually expected about a 20% drop. And then I thought, well, maybe more like a 15%. Now, I did have some clients, dentists, chiropractors, doctors, they had to shut down their doors, right? Mm-hmm. I just elected to not even bill them. I said, you can't even collect money from your customer, so I'm not going to collect any money from you. Mm-hmm. So I did lose some money there, but in the end, some of those people came back even stronger. They increased their programs. My denture guy has actually opened a new office. I have then gained more referrals. And again, just if you deliver results, you're going to get more leads and grow your agency.
Yeah. And you know, there's a few agency owners who I've had on the podcast recently who have talked about how they actually paused payments during the pandemic through their clients. You know, they're loyal customers, they know they'll pay them, but they just wanted to give them that grace to get back on their feet. And I know textbook, that's, you know, not what you're supposed to do in business, but I love that. And I think at the end of the day, they're going to just be so loyal to you. They're going to bring you more referrals. And it's just really cool to see businesses coming together and helping each other.
Yeah. It's just not fair, right?
Yeah.
Now, I know, you know, one thing that I do is I am a moderator on the SEO Signals Lab. I've also put together a special event called the Mastermind Mansion. And we held that in August in Las Vegas.
Oh, cool.
And we're looking to do it again in New Orleans in April. So what we do is we just get our best buddies, the best of the best agency owners, the top SEOs, the top folks, and we just get together and hang out. But it's more of a true mastermind, right? Brainstorming. And
cool.
I truly, I would say 50% of agencies have actually probably suffered from, you know, during 2020. Many of them might have been too focused on the wrong things. And so a lot of them are obviously trying to diversify.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the greatest thing that you can do as an agency owner. If you truly understand marketing and you can get the phone to ring, you can help that client sell, well then just go build a lead gen website or a rank and rent and don't depend as much on the client, because we all know, you know, you and I joked about this, Julia, clients suck. Many of them suck, right? And the problems that they have, it's not really your problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm also very blessed too that about 25% of my revenue is actually, you know, from non-clients. It's true lead gen and rank and rent type of structures.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's very cool. So why don't we delve into our topic? So we're going to be talking about sales today.
Sales.
Yes. So let's start off by talking about your preferred method of cold outreach and what you have found to be most effective. I know you mentioned that you do get a lot of your clients through referrals, which is amazing, but I'm sure at some point, you know, you were doing the cold outreach strategy. So what was your experience there?
So I still, even though I am the CEO and I, you know, I have a small team, my true background is sales, right?
Right.
There's, and I honestly would, you know, a bit of advice, if you're in your 20s and you want to be a rock star agency, I want a Lambo, I need a supercar, I want to kill it, I want to make, you know, six figures, I would first tell you, go work in sales for another agency or another major media company. You really need to learn people skills and true corporate sales, because they're going to train you and they're going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started, like a lot of folks, with a paper route, and I worked in retail, worked at Radio Shack. I then became a manager of a general nutrition center. And then after I graduated, I got a job at Wells Fargo Financial. and they were heavy on sales, and it was phone sales. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Because as soon as you say to someone cold calling, they're like, oh, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I will tell you, if you can cold call, you are a master.
Yeah.
So I do it, but I figured out the techniques that work for me. And that's another piece of advice too. If you're sitting back saying, gosh, I just can't figure this out. Just don't change your personality. Do what feels right, because people are going to buy from different folks. If you're overly aggressive, then maybe, you know, you're mirroring that person and they're overly aggressive too, and it works. If you're too analytical, then you're going to connect with someone who is also analytical. The better thing to do is just be yourself, because the more genuine and honest you are, the better you're going to connect. So for me, I cold call. But this is the greatest thing. I have an amazing product and I believe in it. If you want to succeed in sales, you have to believe in it. So guess what? I want to tell the world, hi, I'm Keith Evans. I'm here in Boise. I can help you.
Yes.
Right?
I love that. And that enthusiasm and that passion just comes through when you're talking about your product.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I still cold call. I still cold call to this day, because think about this. I am the CEO. I built the company. Who can beat me?
Right? Yeah. You have to be good at sales when you're running your own company. It's the most important skill, I think.
And I think that if you really look at some of the major entrepreneurs and CEOs of the world, they're all very good sales and people. They have excellent people skills.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. So you're cold calling. So a lot of people, you know, cold calling is very intimidating. They get someone on the phone who doesn't really want to be talking to you on the phone. What strategies do you use to build trust with this prospect?
Right. Trust is a huge thing, and it really is the number one goal that should hit you in the face and say, oh, how am I going to overcome trust?
Mm-hmm.
So people are not going to talk to you unless they think that you can help them. So therefore, many times my opening statement is, I help Jack's plumbing. He's getting 12 extra jobs a month. I think I can help you too. That, you know, what are your goals this summer? Get them to be thinking about next week, next month, this year.
That's good.
And
reference your other wins and your other successes that you've done for other businesses.
Again, you're sitting there listening to Julia and Keith talk about Too Hot to Handle and Rachel and the whole fight. Well, I mean, sorry, that we're not talking about that. we're talking about sales. And you sit there and you had to look in yourself and you say, how can I gain trust? And we mentioned trust because the person is immediately going to say, what is the risk of me continuing to talk to this person or decide to buy? And how do you control that risk? You control that risk based on, well, is there a guarantee? Do I get my money back? Is there a trial offer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone will definitely trust me when I can say, I helped Jack's Plumbing increase $4,000 in sales. I think I can help you too. They're probably going to talk to me. But now this is another challenge. How do I even know that they want to make a change? So you do, like we've talked about before on the show, you have to know their goal. What do they really want to do? In my particular market in the state of Idaho, we are one of the fastest growing states. So guess what? Sales for a small business owner, plumber, dentist, doctor, they don't really have that problem. what do you think their biggest problem is, Julia? And it's I'll give you a secret. It's a problem that's now affecting nearly all businesses in 2022.
Bringing in more sales.
Hiring.
Oh, they yes,
can't
of course.
Hire, right?
Yeah.
So I probably had, and I wouldn't say that I'd screw up the conversation, but when you're talking to that client, whether it's in person or via email, messaging on a phone call, I'll ask them directly, what's your biggest challenge? Oh, I can't get enough people. Okay, so that's telling me immediately, you don't want me to make the phone ring. You want me to be your HR person, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not in growth mode. They're understaffed.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's a great thing happening right now. Coming out of COVID, we humans have experienced a lot of change. And it's a great time to start a business because people are now more open to change. And it's why people have quit working, right? It's like, I hate my job. I want to go do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, it's a great time for you to be calling and reaching out and selling your product, because a lot of these businesses do want to make changes so that they can benefit. And even if it's inflation and recessionary conditions, like maybe growth might be flat this year,
mm-hmm.
they want the sales they had in 2018. They want the sales they had in 2021. So
yes.
Now is a great time.
Yes, absolutely. So what other questions do you ask them that so you can uncover other like challenges that they can be dealing with or pain points that they're dealing with? Is there, are there any other questions that you ask?
So once you can lower their guard, and please understand, cold calling can be slightly different, right? Because someone might say, oh, I'm happy now, right? And then you might say, well, okay, who are you using? Oh, I'm using
someone. And they also might just be saying that to get you off the phone.
Exactly. And that's fine, because you know what? As my dad would say, you don't bullshit a bullshitter, right? I'll play that game with you. So when I tell them, oh, how much have you spent? You know, and let me back up a second. One technique from a cold call perspective is when they say, oh, I'm happy now, you try to say, oh, well, what are you doing? And they might tell you, and then you'll say, oh, that program actually complements what I do. We really should get together. How does Friday at 11 sound?
Mm-hmm.
So what you've done is you can tell a story of, oh, that was the same answer that Jack's Plumbing told me until he found out that when we improved his program, he's now so much happier. Not only did we save him 20%, but his sales are up. I actually just texted him. His sales are up 33%. So
it's really cool.
The whole idea is people don't want to change, right? They're happy with the norm.
Yep.
And some of them might be like, well, I don't really care to even save money. Oh, I mean, I guess it would be nice to be more, make more money. But a lot of them, I'm actually going to have a meeting this afternoon. And when I try to talk about increasing his sales and saving him money, what I really found out from the conversation was he's doing too much of the marketing managing. And so a lot of times my answers to the customer was, oh, well, that's exactly what I do. You're going to have more free time. I'll just take care of this for you.
Yeah.
So remember, another key thing too is, and it's harder to do on a phone call. The main reason why you cold call someone is to set the appointment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to repeat that. Okay. And if I'm going to sit there and I'm going to shake everyone's head and smack you and say, listen, The reason you're calling them is to set an appointment. You're not going to sell them.
Yes. And then, so do you set the appointment on the call?
Yes.
You send the calendar invite on the call.
If they are open to, oh, sounds great, right? Mm-hmm. Then, you know, if he helped Jack's Plumbing, then he can help me. And in the same breath, I'll say, you know, let's get together. Now, remember, I have to lower their guard, address a couple questions, because what do you think is one of their common questions they'll say? Now, remember, let's just step back a second. They've never heard of me. I'm calling Jack's Plumbing. Mm-hmm. And what do you think they're going to, a very high, high likely question they're going to say to me on the phone? Look at,
how
you
much
can't
does it,
see
how
this.
How much does it cost?
Yeah, exactly. Cost, right?
Which you don't want to talk about too early.
You have to answer the question directly. So you say this, the pricing varies. Pricing starts at $297. And I do have some customers that spend $1,000. I have even a couple that spend $3,000. What are your goals?
I like that.
So the whole point is, you say it varies because it does vary. And then you say, well, what are your goals? Because what can I not do on that cold call? I can't give him a price because I don't know his goals yet.
Yes, exactly. And then when you're honest, you're going to build trust with them as well.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Transparency is very critical. And you might be out there and say, well, but Keith, I'm new. Okay, well, you have to prove yourself. You're going to have to take a discount. You're going to have to do some work for free. You might have to offer some specials, either... There's lots of things you can do. But once you prove yourself, then you now have a client that you can say, I helped Jack, I can help you too.
Mm-hmm.
And then now all of a sudden it's like, I helped these 12 people, I can help you. Now you have reviews. Now you have a growing reputation. And suddenly people are finding you as they search. And then your clients are giving you some referrals.
I love that. That's awesome advice. And so when it comes to getting objections, what are some common objections that you've experienced and how do you overcome them?
Because
I know price can be one.
Yeah.
Price is a big
so
one.
We've addressed price. So the other one obviously is I'm happy now, right? And
yep.
we have addressed that.
What about I need to talk to my partner or my co-founder?
That is a tough one. But you need to keep in mind, let's back up here. Zip, 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 zip. What did Keith say earlier? The reason for your first call or your first email, your first contact with the client is to do what?
To book a follow-up
appointment. Set the appointment, right.
Yes.
So if you really just focus on that goal, then when they say, oh, I need to ask so-and-so, again, positive response. Hey, well, that sounds great. What did they do exactly? And are they the decision maker? Oh, you guys work together. So, but who manages more of the marketing? All right. Now, the other thing you can kind of do is hopefully earlier in the conversation, you found a pain point. And what I mean by a pain point is they would like to increase their sales. They would like a new website. They don't show up on maps, right? They
right.
would like to have some growth. So what you can gently remind them is, go ahead and talk to Mike. One of your goals is still, have you and Mike talked about that you guys want to increase your sales? What do you think they'll probably say? Well, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, so then let's get together Friday at 10. Will that work for you, or is there a better time? Well, ask open-ended questions and it's a particular technique that you're basically repositioning. You take what they say. Sometimes you have to say it back so that you understand, mm-hmm. right? And then you have to reposition to say, well, then sounds like we really need to get together. How about Friday at 1?
Right? Okay. Awesome. I really like that.
It's always after you can overcome trust and you know that they said they gave you an affirmation of, yeah, I would like to grow the company. Mm-hmm. Well, then by all means, we need to get together, right?
Yeah, they've raised their hand.
Yeah, and then even at that point, you can even kind of give them some of your, this would be a slightly more of a hard sell, but these would have been called like those quick jabs, such as, I only work with 2 people in each category. So I work with Jack's Plumbing now, but I think I'm Mike. I know I can help you at Mike's Plumbing. So, you know, that would be great. Number 2, I have over 83 reviews and I'm also a specialist, meaning I'm in Boise. You don't have to call Nashville. You can talk to a guy and I solve the problem. So you're kind of you're reminding them, or you're kind of giving the opportunity to justify why you should get together.
Yeah. That's awesome. So
what do you think? And I'm trying to think of some other common, the I'm busy now is a good one too. We're already too busy. Now, even in that situation, and I will tell you, this is one of the harder sales to make, which is I am taking money away from another vendor, another agency. But I can look at the website. I can see who built it. I can see, is it from Thrive? Is it a Town Square Media? Is it a GoDaddy? Is it a Squarespace, a Wix, right? I can mm-hmm. quickly look at that. And one great thing to do is a little bit of flattery. I love to call businesses who have a good reputation but have bad digital marketing. So I'll look at their reviews and I'll even read back their reviews. I'll say, well, Julia says you showed up on time, you had a great price, but you know, like you have 44 reviews and you're not in the maps. You're honest, you're reputable, but people just need to find you. Mm-hmm. And what do you think that business owner's thinking? And he's like, yeah, people yeah. do need to find me. So
is that kind of like a foot in the door strategy, would you call that? Like offering a complimentary audit?
Yeah. Even right now on my website under the uphero.net, I do offer that, right? People can go out and just get a free analysis. Mm-hmm. That is one thing you can do to people, but one thing you need to be careful about, which is, first of all, are they really interested in growing? So you have to think about, what do I really offer as an agency? Most people will say, well, yeah, we can do a website, we can do SEO, and we can manage, you know, advertising, digital ads, right? Mm-hmm. Would you say that's the 3 core, probably?
Yes, I would say so.
So you then have to quickly ask them, what are they doing now, right? And that is a great question. Everyone, write this down. What are you doing now? Because now is very important to them. They will procrastinate just like I procrastinate. They will they want to make a change, but they're just hesitant. So a difficult question to ask them. And this is when, if I feel that I'm not likely going to get the appointment, then I get my, I'll use Julia, everyone out there. Julia told me I should use proper language and be careful. So I'm going to say that my testicles get bigger. Okay. My basketballs. So as I get more, we'll just say confident, that's a good word. I'll say to them, well, what are you spending now? Now, what does everyone know in the sales world? Oh my gosh, if you ask them what they spend, they're not going to tell you. But this is the other reality. If they say, oh, well, I'm happy now and I'm spending $200. Okay, bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Right? There's something else that can happen in the sales psychology, which is, yeah, you know what? If you're happy with the way things are going and you don't want to grow, you don't want to change, then, you know, nice to meet you. Happy New Year. Are you doing something fun on Valentine's Day? Oh, that sounds great. And you leave the conversation. When something is going away from you, we humans want it more, right? Mm-hmm. When you tell someone, no, we're not a good fit, it's not going to work out, I can't help you at $200. Oh, well, what could you help me at? Well, for plumbing, based on what you're doing now, Jack's plumbing, he spends about $900 a month. So what you do is you can go back to asking more questions. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole key, which is you have to know more about them.
So that you can qualify them as well.
Exactly. You have to qualify them, because if they're not a good fit, and you can just say, yeah, you know what, have a great day. It was nice talking with you, learning about your business. When you're ready, I'm ready. I said that to a guy the other day. I worked with one of his competitors, and I'm ready to leave the conversation. And he's like, whoa. He then started asking questions. Woo! Yes, that's exactly what you want to happen, right?
Yes, yes.
I told him, yeah, it's, you know, thanks for your time. And then now he's like, well, wait a minute. Keith isn't full of shit. He asks what I'm spending. You need to really know what they spend, because you then need to look at your agency arsenal and say, oh, can I compete with that? Mm-hmm. Can I hit those deliverables, right?
Yeah.
But in the sales world, you can't ask that question in the very beginning, right?
Right.
How many jobs? How many sales? What are you doing? How about this? No. You really, and this is more important, when you actually do have the appointment and you sit down with them, get them to talk about themselves.
Yes.
First question I always ask people, and I meet with a lot of people just on the phone. We don't always have to meet in person. But I'm open to whatever. How'd you get into this business?
Yeah, it's amazing what you, what you learn by just asking those open-ended questions and just letting them talk. It's something they're passionate about. And yeah, just trying to, you know, uncover what keeps them up at night. And
go to their LinkedIn, go to their Facebook, read their business history, look about the true about us. Mm-hmm. You need to also try to find some similarity, something between you and that client, so that you can have that connection, so that they can say, oh, this guy's from Ontario as well. Or, this guy is a, 49ers fan or whatever, right?
Yeah.
One of the keys to being a good salesperson is being likable. Now, what's funny, when I was in sales when I was 12 years old, I just wanted to get the job done.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to talk to people, and I didn't want to waste that time, because to me, it was just like, you're wasting my time. I'm here for a job. I have this wonderful product. Why aren't you buying it?
Yeah.
But I didn't quite understand how the psychology of people work, which is, well, they need to trust you. How do you get them to trust you? All you little kiddies out there in podcast land, you need to get your client to talk about themselves. Mm-hmm. There is a psychological factor. These little endorphins are going to trigger in their brain, in their body, that will say, oh, I really like talking to Julia. I really like talking to Keith. And you're listening, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to already have some of these questions ready to go, because one of the biggest downsides is people will get off topic. So you have to just
keep them back,
reel them back in. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Reel them back in.
Okay. So what are a few questions that you would recommend so our listeners can, you know, take some notes?
One of them, very important questions, and this is actually even off of a, you can assume that the owner is a decision maker, but you really do need to know, who's the decision maker? Who manages this?
It's a good one.
Right? Because
are you even talking to the right person?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of,
I don't want to waste my time talking to the wrong person, right?
Yep.
You cannot sell someone until you've found out what is their challenge, right? What's their goal? So now, this isn't a cold call question, but remember, you're playing ball with someone, meaning you're passing it back and forth. If you ask a question and then they give you an answer, then they're giving you basically a signal, hey, they're happy talking to you. Now, one trick, write this down, kids. I reveal something about me, which then gives me permission to ask you a higher trust question about you. So for example, you could do this, and you can even do this when they say, you know, how much are you spending now? Right. Oh, well, I don't know, a couple hundred. And then what do I say? Well, Mike's Plumbing, he spends about $900 in marketing. Now, do you think you're spending that? Bang, 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 bang.
Ooh, that's good. I like that.
Oh, yeah, baby. So with that.
That's awesome.
See how I prefaced that with, it wasn't really Keith saying the question. It was giving up information. And then now their guard comes down, and I'm not kidding you. This is funny, Julia. You'll ask, and do not be afraid to ask them twice how much they spend, because I'm not kidding you. They will tell you one number in the beginning, and then the real number will be towards the end of the conversation.
Oh,
in when you're playing ball in sales, you have high trust questions, you have low trust questions. So when I say, how much do you spend? That's a high trust question. They're like, who the hell are you? I'm not going to tell you. But if I say, what's your dog's name? Right? Do you love dogs? Do you love hunting? Or tell me how you got started in this business. They are going to go and talk. That's what you want them to do. So
you got to work your way up to the high trust questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, part of my solution, and some of this is even kind of more like into the point of onboarding, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, I typically will always rebuild their website and then I add SEO. That's my core competency, what I do for people. If they are spending on ads, I can manage that, but eventually we start to squish that number down. So one thing I'll say is, what exactly do you do? And part of this is also trying to help them with their brand message. And I really say, as short as possible, right? And they'll write it down. And then I'll, as a creative person, I'll then add to it, which, what does that do? It raises my credibility to say, oh, I like Keith's idea better. And then in their brain, they're thinking, they're like, this guy knows what the hell he's talking about. I want to meet with him.
Yeah.
Another big secret too, when you start to get resistance from someone, you should always offer something up for free. Give them something and don't ask for anything in return.
And just going to help build trust.
Yeah, because then I'm going to say, this guy called me out of the blue. I don't know who the hell he is, but I was in a bad mood. You know, the wife's yelling at me. I've got to collect bills. And but this guy's interrupting me on the phone. Mm-hmm. What one thing that a lot of these my customers want are more reviews. So one thing I flat out tell them, I'll say, so, hey, Jack, I'll tell you what, sounds like you know, now is not a good time, but you would like to get more reviews, right? Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll tell you what, I'm going to send you the link to your Google My Business so that you can just quickly text that to people.
Oh, I love that. That's such okay. a good idea.
Right. Yeah. So I just gave them something for free, but mm-hmm. there's something else with this. They have to know how to use it now. Mm-hmm. So most people don't get it, which is I can go pull the exact place off their Google My Business where you can leave a review. Mm-hmm. And all us agency folks know it's just nothing more than a link. You copy the link, you paste it as a note on your phone, and then you have easy access to it.
Yeah.
But some of these people, they're like, what? I don't even know how to use the memo function on my phone, right? Mm-hmm. You explain how it works, and then there's some magic that happens too, which is when you text someone, what does the person, you know, let's quiz Julia. Julia, when you get a text, what do you first do? First thing?
After I read it, I respond to it.
Right. So I guess that was a bad question. You know, I got smacked teeth around. When your phone goes bing bong, what do you do?
I look at it.
Exactly. You look at it.
Yeah.
And then if it says, hey, Julia, Rick's Plumbing would love feedback from you. Now the ball's in their court. You can't tell. Now, remember, the words I'm talking now, and I'm talking to a business owner. You mm-hmm. can't tell your customer, hey, go out and search my brand. Go over to the Google My Business. Click this button or go to my website. Click this link. Scroll the bottom, blah, blah, blah. No. What you do is you say, I'll text it to you. And something else you get their cell phone number.
Yes, ooh! That's so smart. Oh, I love that. God.
Oh, this is a miracle.
That is awesome.
The greatest sales podcast I've ever heard.
That is a great tip. I love that tip.
So what you do with it, right? Because they'll say, oh, did you call the office? Yeah. So let me text it to you. What's your cell phone number? Bang, 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 bang.
So good.
But there's something else, obviously, is that's also good for the business owner to get the actual consumer cell phone too, because yes. the consumer's phone will light up and now you pass the buck. Hey, Julia, could you leave me a review? Julia's going to say, yeah, sure I will. So what do? Bam. I'm now putting the pressure right back on you. And now Julia is very more likely to leave a review. Mm-hmm. That little banter and conversation that you have with the client is then, you know, it's now going to allow you to ask some other questions, right?
Yeah.
Well, Jack, are you sure you don't want to make some changes? I'm looking at your website and it seems like you guys could be doing so much better. Now, and this is the other thing too, is don't be afraid to deliberately say wrong information. I know it's like, what?
Yeah, no, clarify that.
Why would you say wrong information? Here's the point. So Jack, you said that you're spending about $700 just on your website. Is that right? Oh, no, we only spend $500 on the website, but we spend another $200 on Facebook ads.
Okay, so you're gonna say the wrong information so that you can bring it back up in conversation.
And they correct you.
Yeah.
Right? Because what is the second part of the sales process when you're in the actual interview with them?
Mm-hmm.
I need to know all the actual facts, the truth. What are you really spending?
Yes. Oh, I love that. That is so smart. We are running out of time. So
what? We haven't even gotten to too hot to handle yet.
We haven't got to closing techniques yet. So let's get to what are some closing techniques that you have found really work for you?
I'm going to close on Julia right here. I think that we need to have Keith Evans on the show again for part two of amazing sales techniques. But before we get to
that, we can definitely do that. Cause yeah, we could talk.
This is the reality.
Closing.
If you have addressed every concern, every goal, right? Yep. You want to increase sales, right? You would like to sell. You just bing, bang, bang, boom. That is exactly what your proposal is.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually, remember, in the very beginning, you might have to remind them and say, so, Jack, you told me that you'd like to cut your budget down to $800, and you would like, though, to increase some sales, right? Perfect. Well, this proposal will do that exactly. It'll meet your goals. What do you think?
What do you think? Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
Now remember, the closing is not, oh, I got to twist them and I got to manipulate them. No, you don't. It's as simple as if you have addressed every question, every concern, then they're more likely to say, I don't have any more questions or concerns. Mm-hmm. So they're going to go to yes. Now, this is where you can get screwed up. Well, sounds good. Let me ask the wife. Well, we have a board that votes on this. Now, remember, though, you should kind of already know that ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
The only other delay, too, is, well, we're actually got some bids from some other people. Okay. You know what? No one can touch what I do. So, mm-hmm. you know, remind them. There's some other sales psychology, which is, of course, the power of now, meaning, well, you know, I've got an opening on the project. I can start on this Friday for a limited time. You know, I can take $200 off, right?
If you sign up today, we'll take $200 off.
The whole point is if you did your job, you ask, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to tell you what they think. And now you have more information to mm-hmm. close the deal. I will also say I've got another little secret for everyone. If you do an in-person, or as a matter of fact, if you try to close at any time, when you get to the proposal part, but they hesitate, shut up. You ask them a question, don't say anything. In sales, there is something known as the last person speaks loses.
Okay.
You will lose trust and credibility if you want to keep talking, blah, 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 blah. Listen, what do you think, Julia? And you're like, oh my gosh, there's nothing, right? Like you're waiting. I think I waited one time 11 seconds and it's going to be unbearable.
It's right? You're so
like,
painful.
Oh, shut up. Don't say anything. Don't say anything.
Oh, so good.
Then they'll come back and they'll say, well, blah, blah, blah. There's another little trick too. When you get some, well, I don't know, dismiss yourself. Say, actually, let me go check on something. I didn't bring it with me. I'm just parked right outside. Let me go out to my car. You could also do, let me check with my sales manager, right? Now, as an agency owner, the buck stops with you. But the mm-hmm. other thing you could do, like in a Zoom call or even on a phone call, is you can say, hold on a second. Let me step away. Something came up. I'm so sorry, right? You can mm-hmm. say, like, the dog really has to go outside, right? You walk away from the conversation.
If they are hemming and hawing.
Right. What do you think is going to happen now when you leave?
Gives you a chance to refresh the conversation.
Couple things happen. Exactly. You can regain your thought process of like, okay, what did I miss? What did I need to say? But there's something more important going on. I'm not kidding you. I've closed so many sales. They just need a little time to think. You go buy a used car. One technique a used car salesperson will do is they'll just get up and leave the office. What is that? Gives you time to talk with your wife, talk with your partners, talk with what's going on. And then they come back 2 minutes later or a minute, right? And you're like, okay, so what do you think? Again,
it's good.
Gotta give them a chance to process this.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. Well, you know, I really think that you should come back on and we should talk more about closing techniques.
Too hot to handle, Julia.
No, I love it. It was such an informative show. You shared so many amazing, great takeaways that people can just implement in their agency right away. So yeah, thank you so much for joining us. So I think we have time for the fast five. Let's go through the fast five real quick. What's a sales book that's made an impact on you? Or just a regular book if you don't know a sales book off the top.
Yeah. Cold calling techniques that really work. I actually came across it. It's by Stephen Schiffman. I think he's in his 80s. I got this book 20 years ago. It's still viable today. First name is Stephan Schiffman, Schiffman. He actually has a variety of sales books. A lot of them are telemarketing and phone based, but it really is just the sales psychology of asking the right questions, having confidence. And I will also tell you too, one thing that I do, I have a lot of my questions on little yellow sticky notes. I'm not as good as you think I am. Okay. I have to have my own cue cards to help me stay on that ledge and stay focused.
So you prepare before all of your
partially. Clients. Yeah. You sort of have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a psychology too. There's another, I'm sorry. We just get off on these amazing tidbits, but when you speak fast in a conversation, that is an impact on the user that they think that you really are knowledgeable. Very cool.
Interesting.
Cool factor.
That is very interesting.
So, I don't speak fast. I speak slow. So, because I have to think about what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. If you write it down, then you can just read it off as a more natural, right? Like an actor.
Yes. Yeah. And on Zoom calls, which we're all doing now, it's very easy to prepare those notes as well.
Yep.
Yep. What does your morning routine look like?
Yeah, I'm boring. Like I wake up, I gotta have my coffee, maybe
you don't
two,
wake up and meditate? You
know. No, it's just stupid. Who the hell has time for that? That is just ridiculous. I'm a real person. Do I go to the gym? Yes. Would I rather sleep? Hell yes, right? Like I wake up in the morning, I watch the news, I have a healthy breakfast, and I'm usually actually just looking, wasting time on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram and just sort of like I need to get this out of my body, right?
Yeah.
I will maybe quickly go through some emails, and I won't answer emails at the time unless it's urgent, right? But it's just going through stuff. I really won't do work though until I get to the office setting. So who the hell are these cool people? They don't do that. No, that's just stupid.
I have so much respect for the people that wake up at 5 a.m., they meditate, they journal.
Hell is wrong with these people? I tell you the problem, they are eventually going to be a freaking sales coach and they're, like, hey, I don't know how to get my shit together, but I'll teach you how to do it. Whatever. You know what? Just be happy. Do what makes you happy.
I love it. And then is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Not necessarily. One thing that I think is important, my particular product and my company, UpHero, I'm breaking new ground. I'm not the typical agency. And so I really don't always want to follow others. I'd rather kind of do it my own way, and really try to respond to what customers want and the overall culture and what, you know, I pay more attention to the world and how humans are, right? Rather than what Elon Musk is doing or other CEOs.
Yeah, makes sense. What is your favorite online tool?
SEMrush. I work in local. I love what they do. Love that product.
Yeah. Nice. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
If a salesperson is extremely important to a company. So if you are young and you got the guns blazing and you're kicking butt, do not be afraid to get a piece of the pie. If you really are contributing to the bottom line, ask for 3%, ask for 5%, ask for stock options, ask for something because you're worth it.
Yeah, know your worth.
Do not be afraid. Now, don't be a cocky bastard. Start confident, overly confident with your giant basketballs. Prove yourself, right?
Yeah.
6 months, a year in, right? That's when you could ask for a piece of the pie.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, know your worth. So many people learn that, you know, years and years and years into their careers. So that's great advice.
And one of the quick ways to calculate is basically say, okay, look at your sales contributing to the other people's sales and the overall company's bottom line and be like, you know, I am making this company the most money. And as a CEO, that's just the way the world works. You're going to have, you know, 10% of your sales staff bring in a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. So you need to also reward them appropriately.
Absolutely. I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Keith. It was a pleasure to have you on the show. And hopefully we'll have you back to talk more about sales. Thanks so much. All right.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.